The headlines, Iraqi media say arrest warrants have been issued for several participants of a conference in the northern city of Erbil on normalization of ties with Israel. Muslim pilgrims are converging on the Iraqi holy city of Karbala to mark Arba'in, the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein. And Israeli forces kill at least five Palestinians in pre-dawn raids on several locations in the occupied West Bank. Our top story for this half hour, Iraq's Supreme Judicial Council has reportedly issued arrest warrants for several participants in a conference in the northern city of Erbil on normalization of ties with Israel. Iraqi media said the council issued warrants for three people and pledged to target others as soon as they are identified. According to the reports, the council called the participation in the conference a crime. Earlier, the Kurdistan Regional Government said the conference was neither authorized nor approved by local officials. The KRG said the issues discussed in the conference did not reflect the views and policies of the Iraqi Kurdistan region. Prominent Iraqi figures, including the country's president and prime minister, have already slammed the conference as illegal. 300 people took part in the event organized by a U.S. think tank on Friday. They called for normalization of ties between Iraq and Israel. Political commentator Firas al-Najm says that Iraqi people are opposed to Israel and normalizing ties with the regime.
In regards to this issue here, we know very well that the Iraqis, in general, the majority of Iraqis are against the Zionist regime. They're against the occupation. They stand with the Palestinian oppressed people, the people of Gaza that are blockaded. 73 years, over 73 years of occupation. And in nature, the Iraqis reject any normalization with the Zionist regime. And we've seen lots of protests inside Iraq when these other, Arab regimes, as they call them, whatever they want to be called, they're obviously, you know, we know they're illegitimate, such as the Emirati or the Bahraini and other regimes that went towards normalizing and becoming friendly with the Zionist regime. A lot of the Iraqis went out and protested against it and rejected this, as well as Al-Quds Day, the international day that was established by Imam Khomeini. We see thousands of Iraqis that march in the capital city of Baghdad against Israel and against the human rights violations of Israel, and standing towards supporting and extending a hand to the Palestinian people to help them liberate the land of Palestine.
Muslim pilgrims are marching toward Iraq's holy city of Karbala to mark Arba'in. The pilgrims are converging on the city to observe the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad. This year, Arba'in falls on September 28th, prior to the pandemic. The event drew millions each year, but now the Iraqi government has restricted the number of foreign pilgrims. It has allowed only 40,000 foreign visitors into the country, many of them Iranians. Imam Hussein and dozens of his companions were martyred during the Battle of Karbala with the tyrant of their time over 13 centuries ago. They were killed on the day of Ashura. Well, joining us now from the Najaf Karbala Road in Iraq, en route to the holy city of Karbala, it's Wissam Bahrani, who's here with us to tell us more about the trek towards the holy city of Karbala on the day of Arba'in. Wissam?
Thank you, Wadia. As the day is approaching, Arba'in is getting closer. We've only got one or two days left. More and more pilgrims are converging onto the holy city of Karbala, which is ahead of us. And despite the soaring heat, the temperature is around 40 degrees Celsius. This is desert-like conditions, so you've also got wind. So we've got had a couple of sandstorms, but that hasn't stopped this large gathering. You noted that there are a limited capacity for foreign pilgrims this year due to the pandemic. Nevertheless, there are foreign pilgrims. The majority of them, Iraq gave permission for Iranian pilgrims to attend, in addition to from the Persian Gulf and Europe and America and elsewhere. Despite the, as I said, the heat, there are soaring, there's an increasing number of pilgrims more than yesterday. We're at the Hajj, the Mata Hajj Qasim Soleimani Center, halfway through Karbala, between Najaf and Karbala. There's lots of services here providing, offering the pilgrims with accommodation and food, free Wi-Fi, everything's free of charge, free Wi-Fi, other services, medical services. With such a large gathering, there's also very heavy security presence to protect the pilgrims. Always at danger, this pilgrimage, of a terrorist attack, and it has been targeted in the past by terrorist attacks. So I got about, I spoke to a security official who said there's about 8,000 security personnel protecting the pilgrims here, as well as a much higher number of doctors and the field hospitals for any complaints, medical health complaints or health issues that the pilgrims should have. They have also been set up, one of them just ahead of me, especially with regards to the pandemic. Although the numbers in Iraq are not as high as other regions in the world, the pandemic numbers. Nevertheless, there are plenty of medics. Lots of Iranian doctors have arrived to serve the pilgrims as well.
All right, thanks a lot. Wissam Bahrani joining us from the Najaf Karbala Road in Iraq. Iran says it will judge the United States by its acts, not words, in its willingness to return to the 2015 nuclear deal.
We have made it clear that we will judge Americans by their practical behavior, and their conflicting messages relate to us through the media or diplomatic channels will not contribute to our decision-making.
Amir Abdullahian made the comments as he was wrapping up a five-day trip to New York to attend the UN General Assembly. The top diplomat said Iran's conditions for returning to the talks in Vienna to revive the accord was a hot topic at his meetings. Amir Abdullahian said he discussed the issue in details with his French, German, and British counterparts, as well as the EU foreign policy chief. Iran has already blasted the U.S., for failing to take a serious step to resume compliance with the pact it unilaterally left 3 years ago. Tehran says it wants the U.S. to remove all sanctions in a verifiable way before rejoining the accord. Author and commentator John Stepling says Iran has complied with the nuclear deal for years, so there is no point to discuss its commitment.
The question always comes back to the sanctions. There shouldn't be sanctions. They should be removed. There was never a reason for them. And as far as the JCPOA goes, it becomes a symbolic, concept more than anything else. Iran has already complied with everything asked of them for a number of years. They've bent over backwards to agreeably comply with all the often irrational requests of the Atomic Energy Commission, the U.S., et cetera, et cetera. You know, the JCPOA looms as kind of political theater. At this point, in 2021, such discussions are just ludicrous, and people should stop participating in them. I mean, Iran has done nothing. They're a sovereign nation. The U.S. has no business dictating anything to them or to anybody else. And yet, you know, the mainstream media, the giant corporate media and telecoms, are on the same page with the Pentagon, and they disseminate the same propaganda over and over and over for years and years and years.
Another consignment of Iranian humanitarian assistance has arrived in Afghanistan. That's the third batch of aid Iran has sent to its eastern neighbor in recent days. The help comes amid UN warnings of a looming humanitarian catastrophe in Afghanistan, For more on that, our correspondent Amin Alami earlier joined us from Kabul International Airport, where the Iranian aid had landed.
According to officials, I mean Iranian intelligence officials here at Kabul International Airport, this flight is carrying 15 tons of humanitarian aid to the people of Afghanistan, including food and medicine. In the meantime, officials here say that Afghanistan needs more humanitarian aid, especially from its neighboring countries, because according to Taliban officials, the U.S. has proved to be not honest with the people of Afghanistan over the past 20 years, and even it abandoned Afghanistan, the people of Afghanistan, by putting more sanctions on this country. In the meantime, many have believed that while Afghanistan and its people are facing a real economic crisis and poverty and joblessness are also on the rise in this country, dispatching of such humanitarian aid by Iran, Afghanistan's Western neighbor, the Islamic Republic of Iran, has created hope and optimism about the real will of the Afghan people, the Afghan government under the rule of the Taliban, in order to boost its ties and relations with such countries who are truly supporting the people of Afghanistan during difficult days they are experiencing.
And these five Palestinians, including four members of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, have been killed in Israeli raids in the occupied West Bank overnight. Three of the five Palestinians were shot dead in the village of Beit Anan, northwest of Al-Quds. Another was killed in Burin, a village near the city of Jenin, while one more Palestinian succumbed to his wounds in hospital. Reports indicate clashes erupted in the occupied territories after regime forces carried out pre-dawn raids in at least four West Bank towns. Palestinians also staged a strike in the town of Bidu following the attacks. Meanwhile, Palestinian groups decried the latest Israeli atrocities.
Because of the martyrs, people in the West Bank and militants should point their weapons towards the Israeli occupation, the rapist Zionists, to defend our nation, our land, our holy sites, and to stress the equation of blood for blood and bullet for bullet in the West Bank and Jerusalem.
Hamas also added that Palestinians will continue their resistance to stop Israeli crimes. The group further called on the Palestinian Authority to end its security coordination with Tel Aviv and meetings with Israeli officials. Hamas underlined that the martyrdom of Palestinians is the result of the Palestinian Authority's constant coordination with Israel. Other Palestinian groups also said they would press ahead with their resistance against Israel. The president of the British Automobile Association says panic buying rather than shortages is causing queues at UK petrol stations. Edmund King said the problem should pass in a matter of days if drivers just stick to filling up when they need to. He said there's plenty of fuel at source and that a shortage of lorry drivers was only a localized problem earlier in the week. On Saturday, panic buying continued throughout Britain's petrol stations. Worker shortages are a growing problem in Britain, which had a record 1 million job vacancies between June and August. Now, in a U-turn on its post-Brexit immigration policy, Britain has decided to issue over 10,000 temporary work visas to lorry drivers and poultry workers to ease chronic staff shortages.
Britain is witnessing long queues outside fuel stations, including the capital, London, following fuel rationing at some distribution centers and temporary closure of many retail stations. British Petroleum said it has closed more than 1,000 of its fuel distribution stations, citing a lack of both unleaded and diesel grades. The multinational gas and oil company blamed the closure on a shortage of truck drivers. The government has cautioned against panic buying, saying there is no shortage at refineries. Britons have, however, paid little heed to the pledge, as long queues of motorists have been forming outside filling stations since Saturday morning. Retailers have warned that the clock is ticking for the government and that it only had just days to prevent a significant disruption in festive preparations in the run-up to Christmas, which is only 3 months away. The administration of Prime Minister Boris Johnson says it is looking at temporary measures to address the issue. British media said the government is mulling allowing some 5,000 truckers into Britain on short-term work visas in a bid to alleviate the acute labor shortage. The UK's Road Haulage Association, however, says Britain needs 100,000 drivers to meet the demand. The UK opposition leader has blasted the government for what he called letting the people down amid the fuel crisis.
We're obviously at a crucial time for the country, and this government is letting people down so badly, whether it's hammering working people on tax and universal credit, whether it's shortages of food and fuel. I've just been up the road, three petrol stations, one of them with a massive queue and two of them with no fuel.
The driver shortage is partly blamed on Britain's withdrawal from the European Union, which has resulted in tens of thousands of truckers from EU member states leaving the UK. But it has been exacerbated by the coronavirus pandemic. The shortage has also set Britain on path for food chaos, since it has led to disruption in deliveries to supermarkets and fast food chains. The fuel issue comes as Britain is also facing a record-high surge in natural gas prices, with wholesale prices being up to 250% since January. Experts say households will get hit by surging power bills this coming winter, while small energy firms are at risk of collapsing. Supermarkets and food firms say the price rise has caused a shortage of carbon dioxide, which is threatening UK supplies of meat and fresh produce.
Germans are heading to the polls in a knife-edge national election to pick a successor to Chancellor Angela Merkel. After 16 years in power, more than 60 million people are eligible to cast their ballots to choose members of the lower house of the federal parliament, the Bundestag. The election is too tight to call. The center-left Social Democrats, the SPD, are posing a tough challenge to Merkel's Christian Democratic Union Party. The retiring chancellor has urged voters to support Armin Laschet to shape the country's future. 60-year-old Laschet is running against Olaf Scholz of the SPD. Laschet has warned the SPD-led alliance would destabilize Europe with its plans. Scholz, 63, has said he's fighting for, quote, a major change in Germany. And that's a wrap for now. Bye, everybody.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Listeners special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special. On this Sunday, September 26, 2021, I'm Atefer Fani hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listen to the Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And And dear listeners, here I, on behalf of my colleagues in IRIB English Radio, do express my condolences on the event of Arba'in. As you may know, Arba'in is the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, the third Imam of Muslims, the third infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Arba'in is commemorated annually through a march by Muslims, Christians, and non-Muslims, which is the biggest in the world and known as Arba'in pilgrimage. From different countries, people come to Karbala and hold ceremonies in this Iraqi city. Again, I do express my condolences on this tragic event. Please do keep us company. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very important and useful for us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. Actually, these days, due to coronavirus pandemic, we are sending our dear listeners EQSL cards, yes. So please wait for an EQSL card from us. So here we have received some reception reports from our dear listeners around the world, which I do express my appreciations to them, including Rafon Ahmad from India, Kristen Ivanaj from Italy, and Don Glaka from the U.S. Many thanks for sending us these reception reports. It shows your commitment to IRIB English Radio. And from around the world also, we have received so many letters and emails, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read their emails or letters. From India, we have an email from Anand Mohan Bain. From Morocco, we have an email from Yusuf Ben Meir. From India again, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Jayanta Chakrabarty. From Ukraine, we have another email from one of our regular listeners, from Konstantin Provotorov. And the last but not the least is an email from Freddie Irigoyen. Yes, this email is from Uruguay. And thank you very much for sending us these emails and letters. And after a short break, I will be back with these kind messages. Please stay with us. Welcome back to your program, Listeners Special. And as I said, we have an email from Anand Mohan Bain from India. Anand Mohan says, "Hello. Today, while writing this letter, I feel so heartbroken that I'm not able to describe it. My wife, Fulmala Bain, who had been living with me for 46 years, left me and this world on September 2nd. Everyone has to go, but she left in such a way that on August 31st, she kept walking with me in Bilai Market, but left after a day. She had heart attack twice in the house, while another heart attack on the way to the hospital. The doctor said that the whole heart was blocked, while she never spoke such a thing. Never had chest pain, never had blood pressure. It is impossible to understand what is written in fate. When I look everywhere, I become sad. I request everyone to wish that her soul rest in peace. Hello, salam and warmest greetings to you, Anand Mohan Bain from India, and we're so sorry for this tragic loss of life. Ah, we're so shocked by hearing the news. Actually, I, on behalf of my colleagues in IRB English Radio, do express my condolences to you on this sad event. And the only thing we could do is asking God to bestow you and your children and your family members patience so that you could cope with the situation very well. It was so sad. Anyway, thank you very much for sharing your experience and sending this email to IRB English Radio. May her soul rest in peace. Yes. Thank you very much for letting us know about that. So write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English Radio programs. Anand Mohan Bain from India. Oh, okay, what a pity. So from Morocco, we have an email from Yusuf Ben Meir. Yes, Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco says, "Dear IRB English Radio staff, greetings. Unfortunately, I prefer to receive a paper QSL card in general rather than electronic one. Thank you very much. The electronic card is a solution in these difficult times. We hope that things will improve as soon as possible. I hope you're all fine. Greetings to you from the Kingdom of Morocco. Stay safe." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco, and many thanks for writing this email to IRB English Radio. Of course, everyone prefers to receive a paper QSL card from IRB English Radio because it stays and remains as a souvenir from a radio station. Anyway, we have to deal with the situation in the time of pandemic, and unfortunately, the only way we have is sending our dear listeners electronic cards, EQSL cards, and please accept it from us in the times of the pandemic. And we also hope that the situation regarding the coronavirus pandemics improves as soon as possible. And we wish you all the best, Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English Radio programs. And now, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from one of our regular listeners, Jayanta Chakrabarty. Welcome back. Here, as I said, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Jayanta says, "Dear producer and all my friends at IRIB English Radio, I am pleased to send you a report of broadcasting on the shortwave. The reception quality was good with strong signal strength. I will be thankful if my report is verified with a printed QSL card and some postage stamps for collection when the postal services are normalized. God bless all at IRIB English Radio to remain safe and cheerful. With warm regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our regular listeners. And thank you very much for writing to us in IRIB English Radio. So we are so glad that the reception quality was good with a strong signal strength. So my colleagues will soon send you EQSL cards, because in the time of pandemic we can't send you actually paper QSL cards and souvenirs and, as you said, postal stamps for collection and other souvenirs of IRB English Radio. Of course, as you said, after the postal services are normalized, we can send these souvenirs to you, dear listeners. And God bless you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us which program or programs you like the best. Okay, from Ukraine, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Konstantin Provatorov. Konstantin Provatorov from Ukraine says, greetings from Ukraine. Dear IRIB English Radio staff, I have had a great pleasure in logging into your station, IRIB English Radio, and sending you my reception report, hoping that you will be in a position to verify it. Would you be kind enough to send me your QSL card or EQSL card? I have also enclosed audio files recording your broadcast. Thank you in advance for your reply. Yours sincerely. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Konstantin Provatorov from Ukraine, and I do express my gratitude to you for sending us this email. And it's also an honor for us to have you. So you logged into IRIB English Radio. Tell us which program or programs you listened to and you liked. Of course, we always embrace your ideas and views about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Thank you again for sending us this email, Konstantin Provatorov from Ukraine. And after a short break, I will be back with other emails. Please stay with us. Welcome back. As I said at the introduction of the program, we have received an email from Uruguay. This email is from Freddy Irigoyen. Freddy says, hello friends from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, IRIB English Radio. I hope you're doing very well in this global pandemic situation, and I'm pleased to be able to send you this report of reception of your radio tuned to 98.35 kilohertz shortwave frequency service in English. Although I live in Montevideo, Uruguay, I was able to listen to them with a receiver located in Cordoba, Argentina. I attached to this report an audio recorded so that you can verify it, and I detail some of the moments of the listening. I am grateful for the transmission made, and I hope to tune in again soon. Finally, I say goodbye and tell you that I would very much like to receive your QSL verification from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay. And we are so glad that the signals of IRIB English Radio are heard and received in your region, in Uruguay. That's great. We hope that you're doing very well, as you said, in this global pandemic situation. So my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, and of course we received the report and audio recorded that you sent to us. That's great. Thank you very much. In your upcoming emails or letters, please tell us your views about IRIB English Radio program or programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Anyway, thank you. Thanks a lot for sending us this email from Uruguay, Freddy Irigoyen. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you. And now time tells me we have to skip to the next section of this week's listeners special, which is, of course, this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you like it. Please take a listen.
Yeah, hello to our listeners of IRIB English, especially to the listeners of Listener Special this evening. Warm greetings from Central Philippines. My name is Henry Omadhai. I am a director and radio hobbyist since 1990. And presently, I'm a presenter of Philippine DX News every Sunday over Wavescan. I'm listening to various international radio stations from all over the world. In my collection, thousands of QSL tribes, including from the Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English. I think I've been listening to RIB English since 1995. I can hear current news from the Republic of Iran, pressing issues and current affairs. My favorite program, of course, is Listener Special. More than a decade ago, I can still remember you interviewed me twice in this program. And I think this is my fourth time here in your program. Yeah, to all the listeners around the world, during this pandemic, keep safe and continue to listen to RIB English Service.
And dear listeners, before wrapping up this week's listeners special, I do express my condolences on Arba'in. As you know, Arba'in is the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. The third infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As you may know, Arba'in is commemorated annually through a march by Muslims, non-Muslims, Christians, different people, which is the biggest in the world and known as Arba'ina's pilgrimage. From different countries come to Karbala and hold ceremonies in the Iraqi city of Karbala. Again, I do express my condolences on this event. God bless you and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
Grateful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
20 years ago, with almost no debate, the U.S. became a fortress state focused on limiting the rights of immigrants in the name of national security. As a result, the U.S. has the world's largest immigration detention system, and the federal government continues to throw billions of dollars at federal agencies and prison profiteers, imperiling hundreds of thousands of immigrants each year. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by CLK Shah, Executive Director of Detention Watch Network. This article is published under the heading, Number of Immigrants Detained by ICE Has Increased 70% Under Biden. Stay tuned for more. When President Biden took office, the number of immigrants in federal custody was at a 20-year low. This was an opportunity to roll back the system, but Biden chose to maintain the status quo of previous administrations. Within a couple of months, jail beds started filling up again. In response, a coalition of groups organized a community's Not Cages Day of Action on September 23rd in over 20 cities across the U.S. to shut down all immigration jails, demand an end to deportations, and release all people currently in immigration custody. 20 years ago, with almost no debate, the U.S. became a fortress state focused on limiting the rights of immigrants in the name of national security. In the wake of 9/11, every aspect of the existing immigration enforcement infrastructure expanded, from immigration agents to immigrant jails, euphemistically referred to as detention centers, and miles of border wall. Since then, over 5.8 million people have been imprisoned in U.S. immigration jails. U.S. policymakers have converted immigrants into numbers and have used quotas to set arbitrary detention and deportation targets, obliterating the value of human life. Congress and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, have obsessively implemented quotas to incentivize immigration enforcement. In 2009, Democratic Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia inserted a bed mandate into the federal appropriations bill stating that ICE is required to maintain a level of not less than 33,400 detention beds. In recent years, ICE has become so fixated on quotas that it has embedded them into contracts, even though the overall numbers of immigrants in detention plummeted during the pandemic, which means the federal government was paying for empty beds. With Joe Biden in office, there is a growing perception that immigration enforcement is less lethal, but the numbers tell a different story. The number of immigrants jailed by ICE has increased 70% since the start of the Biden administration, and the U.S. continues to lock up children, nearly 15,000 daily, in large-scale facilities and military bases. These conditions have been exacerbated by the pandemic. ICE has done little to keep COVID-19 at bay, spreading infections not only inside immigration jails, but also in surrounding communities and to other countries through deportation of thousands of immigrants. Although ICE was forced to release some people during the worst days of the pandemic, They're now beginning to fill immigration jails up again, just as COVID-19 variants continue to take lives. Now is the moment to intervene and reverse course before Biden allows the immigration detention system to reach maximum capacity. People navigating their immigration cases should be able to do so with their families and in community, not behind bars in immigration jails. Now is the time to push Biden to turn things around and hold him to his word. The expansion of immigration detention and the targeting of immigrants reflects the priorities and decisions of both Republican and Democratic administrations going back over more than 20 years. The creation of the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, after 9/11 consolidated power across multiple federal agencies and normalized the idea that immigrants are a security threat. The so-called war on terror has not only wreaked havoc overseas, but also on immigrant communities across the U.S. and all those seeking asylum at U.S. borders. As a result, the U.S. has the world's largest immigration detention system, and the federal government continues to throw billions of dollars at federal agencies and prison profiteers, imperiling hundreds of thousands of immigrants each year. While the legal groundwork for immigrant exclusion preceded the attacks, the 9/11 created the political and institutional will to build up the massive border enforcement and deportation apparatus the U.S. has today. During the Bush administration, the immigration detention system operated much like so-called black sites, with over 350 detention facilities in use, mostly local jails, and little information about how to find immigrants disappeared into these facilities who were being transferred frequently. The Obama administration increased the use of programs like 287G, in which local police act as immigration enforcers and secure communities where immigration data is shared between law enforcement agencies. By doing so, the Obama administration made the machinery of detention and deportation more effective, helping to earn him the moniker Deporter-in-Chief. Obama also expanded the use of large-scale private prisons and built much of the system that Trump unleashed. On the campaign trail, President Biden lamented the separation of families by Trump and committed to stop corporations from profiting off of incarceration. Early on, the administration rolled out reforms to limit deportations and undo Trump's worst policies. But as the border has become a top news story and an easy target for right-wing attacks, Biden has faltered. Meaningful progress toward dismantling immigration detention has effectively ground to a halt. The continued persistence of immigration detention, despite growing consensus that it's unnecessary and wasteful, shows how much easier it is to build up and expand the system and infrastructure than to roll it back. Biden's early moves on detention and private prisons should not be overlooked. DHS publicly ended contracts at two abysmal jails in Georgia and Massachusetts that had received considerable activist attention. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, in a congressional hearing earlier this year, stated there was an overuse of detention, and Biden issued an executive order to phase out the Department of Justice, DOJ, use of private prisons. But despite those moves, Biden has backtracked. Earlier this summer, the DOJ argued against a California law that would ban private prisons in the state. contradicting his own administration's stated priorities. Subsequently, it was also revealed that a shuttered DOJ private prison in Pennsylvania will be converted into a new ICE jail, raising questions about the administration's commitment to downsizing ICE's footprint. We know that the policy decisions made in the wake of 9/11 led to unimaginable suffering, both in the United States and abroad. Swift and substantive reforms to end the immigration detention system in its entirety are necessary to begin to reverse the demonization of immigrants and ensure that another anti-immigrant administration won't be able to undo the changes in the future. Now is the time for Congress to drastically reduce ICE's budget and release people from detention. 9/11 provided cover for the expansion of the immigration enforcement apparatus. Biden has the opportunity to begin to dismantle it. To do so, he must end immigration detention. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM. 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the important things that a human being needs is social company. And the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and I'm sure we've mentioned this in some previous programs, have advised on what gathering to go to, who to sit with, the type of friends one should have, and so on and so forth. But one of the important gatherings that have been extremely emphasized in the Hadith of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, are those gatherings in which the teachings and the remembrance of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam takes place. Now this doesn't have to necessarily be the morning gatherings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, but yes, those gatherings are definitely included within this tradition. For the Imam alayhi salam, that is Imam Ridha alayhi salam, says that whoever sits in a gathering or in a sitting in which in that sitting our affairs are enlivened, meaning that they are spoken about. How are they enlivened? Because they are passing from one person to another. That is one way of enlivening it. Two is that you are trying to get closer to the truth by having a discussion. That one person has one opinion, the next person has another opinion. And by coming and sitting and discussing, you are able to get a better opinion. This is how they are, you know, enlivened. Or someone may say something that completely was forgotten. Something will come up like that. Or it will push somebody to go and do research. So there are many ways in which the affairs of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam can be enlivened. But then the Imam alayhi salam continues and says that the person who does that, that a person who sits in a gathering in which the affairs or our affairs are enlivened on the day of judgment, where everybody will be fearful, where everybody's heart will be, you know, trembling with fear, so much so that you can say it fainted, so much so that you can say that, you know, you are destroyed. On that day, if a person has come to these types of gatherings and use them for the betterment of himself in advancing towards the truth, in advancing towards following the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, his heart on the day of judgment will not die and will continue to beat. On a day when all hearts will die, his heart will remain, or her heart will remain. Why? Because it is full with the life of the affairs of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge, to increase our tawfiq, and to increase our love for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh here I am, please. Your door, send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, the United Kingdom has been having a tough few years, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. From the time that the Brexit vote was announced until today, London seems to be running like a train which has